just what we read to turn to the word. Father God, we thank thee this evening, Lord, that we can come into thy house. We thank you, Lord, for the songs we have sung. We thank you for your mercy and grace to us this day. Thank you, Lord, for the message this morning, for thy blessing. We thank you, Lord, for every good gift you've bestowed upon us. And Father, we pray this evening that the great Holy Ghost that wrote this word, that Spirit that raised you from the dead, would come this evening and quicken the word to our hearts and teach us the things, Lord. Father, I commit myself to thee this evening. And Lord, I realize that thou art the one. You're the only giver of life. And outside of thee, we are given to understand, Lord, there is no life known whatsoever. For Lord, thou art the giver of life. Father, now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bind every power that would raise his head against the truth. We bind every power that would raise his head against thy people. And Lord, we take authority over them this evening. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And we pray, God, for that quickening power to come in our midst and to quicken thy word to our hearts. For we ask it, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor and the praise, for it belongeth unto thee. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. I want to turn this evening in the Bible to Matthew chapter 24. Praise the Lord. This here is a good Bible for reading. There's good big writing in it, but there's only one thing about it. You would turn two pages together quick and you'd only turn one. And sometimes I'm inclined to do that. But Matthew, yes, I have got it here. Matthew 24. And I want to read maybe down from verse 37. Maybe just go back a verse or two and I'll start at, let's just start at verse 35 and read down a few verses here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Says here, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of the days and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as it was in the days that before the flood, they were eating and drinking in marriage, given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and they are left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and they are left. Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched, and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And we know the Lord will bless his word to us tonight. Praise God. Amen. Sort of got this up on the morning's sore throat, and then there's up a way to go away. But praise the Lord anyway. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. I was just thinking this morning, when John was preaching about the Pharisees, and how that he said where he had prayed, and he thanked God that he didn't do, and he'd done all the good things that he'd done and everything, and then the publican, he wouldn't even lift his eyes up. He stood far off and he said, Lord, be merciful to me. I was thinking of it. I was working one time with a man years ago, and he said to me one day, how did you get saved? And I said to him, I called on the name of the Lord. And I said, I asked the Lord into my heart to forgive me for all my sins. He said to me, will you bow? Will you bow? I says, I was a sinner. And I said, and I mean, a sinner. And I said some of the things that I done, I didn't know, but I didn't know. I was a powerful lot for swearing and cursing and sort of stuff like that there. And you know, you can get the habit of doing that. Some people have a habit of cursing, they don't really know they're cursing, but you just ask, they're not your way. They're not your men, so they're just the way of talking. And you know, so he said to me, but then how did you get saved? Well, I said, I asked the Lord to forgive me all my sins. Well, I said, you know, in Isaiah it says that God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So I said, I thought about it. If God had laid all the iniquity of us all on him, then he had my iniquity too. So I don't have it anymore. And I said that like spoke to me. And I said like, I sat there and I says, there's lots of our scriptures in the Bible. Like the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says to me, that's wonderful. He said, I never heard the like of that. He said, that's great. I said, well, what about yourself? I think that selfless man maybe could be a Christian, the way he's talking. I said, darling, there's one difference between you and me. He says, you were a lost man. I said, I had no call for anybody to tell me that. I knew that. I said, boy, you wouldn't have to try to convince me I was lost. He says, I knew I was a lost man. I says, I was so concerned that I was lost, I could do nothing. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't do anything. I realized I was lost. I said, well, the difference between me and you, he says, you were lost, I never was lost. He says, I always went to church. He's done that, which is right. You know, I was just thinking of that. You know, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto them, but the end of them ways are the ways of death. And you know, it's so true. It's so true today. You know something? There's people, and you could witness to them every day. Every day in the week. Every year. Every month. And you know, you may as well be witnessing to that radiator or to one of those happy chairs. Never will affect them. You know something? It says in a great house, there's many vessels. There's vessels fitted unto wrath. There's vessels fitted unto destruction. And you know, those people, and that's their lot, they're never going to be saved. Not in this world, nor the one to come. Now, people say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, you just look through the scripture, and you'll see that that's so. There's people today, you could witness to them as often as you want. But except the Holy Ghost will come and open their heart, it'll never be open. You know, Jesus said, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he shall lead you into all truth. He shall lead you into all truth. And what will he do? He'll convict the world of sin. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He's not willing that any should perish. But it's a free choice to every man and woman. There's a free choice to them of what they do. You know, they said, what shall you do with him that's called Christ? And when the Pilate stood and said, what would he do with him? He found no fault in him. They said, crucify him. Crucify him. Away with this man. Crucify him. And you know, Pilate wanted maybe to let him go. But then he caught Pilate. You see how Pilate, they trapped Pilate too. But Pilate was guilty. That was his lot. And they trapped him and they said, any man that's a friend of this man, he's no friend of Caesar's. And you know, we're living in a day, we live in a time, you know, I read this story of Noah for the simple reason. People hear the story of Noah. And once you hear the story of Noah right away, you think of all that rubbish that you see in the little books of a little ark. And you think of all that garbage that they put out the wee ark, and an old boy with a long grey beard and a staff with him, and wee children going on the ark. You know, the ark was the means of salvation. It was the means of salvation. We heard this morning that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, these wee books and these wee stuff, they're all right, but they're not the gospel. It's another gospel. There's so many gospels today which is not the gospel, which is another gospel. There's so many purporting to give the word of the Lord, which is not the word of the Lord. You go on to the TV now, and I'm not going to name any names, but I'm going to tell you something. Some of us, the biggest load of nonsense ever you heard in your life. And you know something, I'm going to say something to you here this evening. You know, it's no wonder the country's the way it is. You know, our brother Anders spoke powerful well, enjoyed the services that he said. I suppose he didn't want to say too much about the political thing, for he maybe wouldn't want to offend anybody here. But I know the situation here. And I'm going to say this to you this evening, that if they put Jeremy, what do you call him in? They just for going back to what they put out. The whole bunch is a nest of rats. Now I want to say something to you. If we're going to stay by this Bible and follow what this Bible says, then we're going to have to take the bitter with the sweet. And if it's going to take stripes out of us, then we're going to have to take stripes out of it. And if it's going to have to take stripes out of me, then they're going to have to come out of me. And I'm not going to name names, but the man that they want, the best of the bad bunch. He has a girlfriend, hasn't he? Like a wife. Now that's a fornication. That's what that is. That's what the Bible calls it. You live with a man before you're married to him, or you live with a girl before you're married to her, you're a fornicator. Now Paul said some of you were like that. Some of you were adulterers, some of you were fornicators, some of you were whoremongers. But God had mercy on you. And that's the truth. And I want to say something to you this evening. If you come in a service and sit, and there might be certain reasons for certain things. Now don't misunderstand me this evening. Don't go out of here this evening and say that man picked on me. I'm not picking on anybody, I'm giving you God's word. And we've got to examine our sight in the light of God's word. And if we can't stand correction, the Bible says we're bastards. That's what it calls us if we can't stand correction. And I want to say this evening. If you've sat in meetings for 10 or 12 years and don't know what the word of God teaches you and your place in the word of God, you must have never listened how to say it, or else it's the pastor's fault, he hasn't told you. But it's his duty to tell you what the word of God says and when you sit in. Now, if you're only saved and come in, that's a different story. You don't know any different. But as you come and hear the word of God, then you've got to adhere to what God's word says. And you know it says that we are children. Before God, we have fathers in the flesh that corrected us. And if you don't correct your children, it's not a good thing. You have got to correct your children. If you see them doing wrong, you've got to let them know what's right and what's wrong. And God does the same thing with his people. God so loved the word. Isn't that right? Well, if he didn't love you, he wouldn't correct you. He'd let you go on as you are. But as it was in the days of Noah, and you look down there, turning down, and you know they come out of Iraq, and they held a parade, and they held a parade when they come out of Iraq, and some of the people in England didn't want the soldiers to carry any weapons that they had, because they said it was what? Intimidating. It was triumphalism. Well, they didn't. There was no call to even howl a parade, for they were beaten in Iraq. They were chased out of Iraq. And the boy that was prime minister, the Gaelic prime minister at the head, he backpedaled and talked nonsense to the people. Then they put in another boy that talked nonsense. And then now they're talking more nonsense now. They're going to enforce it. If we don't agree to it here, farm up there, they're going to enforce here that they can have same-sex marriage. Mother, whether you want it or don't want it, you're going to have it. You know, I have a man that phones me up now and then. He was asking me about down the south there not so long ago, and he says to you, listen to such in the news, he says, by, I don't know for area you couldn't get the news from Israel. I says, well, I can't get that. I said, it's very interesting. And then he was saying about this gentleman that they have down in the south of Ireland. He is a thing put forward to the parliament down there now. If you visit Israel, you can't bring any artifacts back. If you bring any artifacts back from Israel, it's going to be an offence, punishable by a fine and even by jail. I know some people now, I know people and they're Catholics, and they're civil people. You know, some time ago, I happened to be talking to Lamont, and I happened to name him the Jews, tell him in Israel, tell him. And it was like switching a light on. He lit up, he was almost ready for fighting. And to him, the Jews were the worst people on the earth. You know that old boy, that's the leader in Iran. He said the Jews were like a cancer. They were like, he says, they're like a malignant tumor. They'll soon not exist. But you know, I heard a man one Sunday morning, we happened to put the TV on there just to hear sometimes as a wee man comes on. I don't know why he's a Baptist or what he is, but he's a brave, level-headed wee man. And sometimes he says some good things. He's not maybe like the run of what you would hear. He's not too bad. He has some truths, although he still holds to the Catholic doctrine. But all the churches hold to the Catholic doctrine. But that's besides the point. But he was saying one of the greatest signs, a super sign he called, was the formation of the State of Israel. And I said, now he's going the right route, isn't he? He wants to go on and finish it. Israel, I think 1946-48, they become a state. They flew the 6-point star for the first time, I think from the times of David. The first prime minister was David Ben-Gurion. In 1946, the angel of the Lord came to Broad Ranagh. Now, if you go to the seals, and you read in the seals, the first went first in the seals, the white horse went first in the seals, was the Antichrist rider. Most Bible scholars thought it was the Holy Spirit. Now, there's plenty of people thought that. But you see, it wasn't the time maybe for them to know what they know. But then a prophet comes along and he says that that rider is the Antichrist. And he's right. Now, what was the power that was sent out to counteract that power, the beast or the creature that come to counteract that power, was a lamb. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who's the Lion of the tribe of Judah? The Lord Jesus. And you know how that they persecuted the church. And right down you get the beast come right down. You get another beast come forth and he comes. And he wants to take, state and church join up together. And you get the beast and he comes forth. And this beast comes forth and God sends the power for to counteract him. And when he sends that power for to counteract him there, that power comes forth and counteracts him. And then they go right down. That power that come forth was was the axe power. And the axe is a beast of burden. So they persecuted them. The first martyr that we read about in the Bible is Stephen. And they stoned him to death. And you come on right down, you get another one that comes right down, and a pair comes forth with the counteract it. And that pair is like a face of a man. He's cunning, he's like a man. And that pair comes for the counteract him because the last disciple to live was St. John. And when St. John was alive and on the earth, the last disciple to live in St. John was in the Isle of Patmos. And you know, they tried to kill St. John. They tried to kill him, and they boiled him in oil for 24 hours. And it took no effect on him. And they said that he bewitched the oil, and they called him a witch. But you know, God didn't allow the enemy for to kill him. But he had men with him. He had Uranus with him, and Uranus and Polycarp. And those men, they killed Uranus. And right down, you come right down, follow that right down through. Let me go quickly here. You come down till I've come to Martin Luther. And what is Martin Luther? Martin Luther is actually a Roman Catholic priest. He's in the Church of Rome. Now remember what Paul said. Paul, being the first messenger, the first church age messenger, Paul establishes the Church at Rome. And when Paul establishes the Church at Rome, in the first third, what does Paul say? Paul says, when I go out from you, there's going to become men bringing in harassers. And just there's a lot of things could be said here. A lot of stuff, history books, you can go into a lot of stuff and pick all this stuff up. You can go in the church ages. You can get books of the early church fathers. You can find out a lot of stuff. And you know, as they went on, you know, my brother Abraham said they formed the Nicene Council, and they produced at the Nicene Council the Apostles' Creed. And it's still used in the churches till this present day. They talk about the Apostles' Creed, they say the Apostles' Creed, and then they say our Father which art in heaven, and so on. Now, they pray these prayers, which never go no higher than the ceiling. They can't, because of the way things is. But you know, four beasts went out, four pairs went out. The last pair is a mixture, and that last pair, that beast that is now, is death. What do you say, Brother Billy? Death? Yes, that's the beast that's right now. Death. And what follows death? See, it's death and hell. And it's death for his Antichrist, his Antichrist. Now, if you go over to Romans, and you can read in Romans, that when they knew to do right, they done wrong. And they forsook the natural use of the women. They burned one in their lust towards another. Now, did in the interview, the man that's going to be the heir to the throne, they are dead, and they wanted to know what he would do if some of his children was gay. He said that wasn't concerning me, it was more of the stigma or what to attack the stick. Now you see, they are dead there, they had that RB gentleman, and they baptized him. Popish baptism. You never were made a member. You can't become a member of this church. Yes, you can become a member of them lodges, certainly. You can be a member of any one of them. But you can't join the church. Because God added daily to the church such as should be saved. And there's only one church, one mystical body. Not two, not three, not four. One and one only. And you're born into it by the Spirit of God. And you know the last pair that God sent to counteract this was the eagle. And God likened his prophets unto eagles. And that's why God sent the prophet. To turn you back to the original word. Someone said one time, you can't teach doctrine from the book of Acts. And John was saying this morning, but someone said you couldn't teach doctrine from parables. Well, you know, that's what Jesus taught us, doctrine from those parables, just like we heard this morning. That's where he took it from, parables. He told the parable. He said that there was a man, he gave one talent, he gave another man 10, he went, he multiplied it. And he gave an hour by five, and he went and he multiplied it, and he gave one, and the boy got the one in the shed underneath. Be careful what I do with this here. I'll stick it in here. I know it'll be safe here. He'll come back, and he'll look for it, I'll have it for him. And the young fellow got the 10, and he looked at the 10, and he said, wouldn't it be great if I could do something with this? And he multiplied it, and he got an hour 10 along with it. And when he come, he was able to give 20. And the other fellow at the 5 was able to give him 10. And when he come to the boy and had the 1, he said to him, what did you do with your money? He said, I knew that you were a hard man, and that you weren't easy pleased. And he says, I have your talent here. And what did he say to him? He rebuked him, and he took it at him. And he gave it to the fellow that had made the 10. He gave it to him. He said, you have it. He doesn't need it. Now there it was a parable. Well, I wouldn't believe that. You tell some people the truth and say, oh no, I don't believe that. I don't. Well, you tell them now, well, sprinkling's not right. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, you say baptizing with 3 titles not right. Oh, I don't believe that. Why did Peter not use 3 titles? He didn't use 3 titles. Because when he received the Holy Ghost, God gave him the revelation of water baptism. And he baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I wouldn't believe that. Our man says this, our man says that. Well, your man can say whatever he likes. That's what the Bible says. You know, I remember one time talking to men, now not naming what, God bless them, on their denomination, but the thing about it was, they said to me, you know, Jesus, the wine he made, was non-alcoholic. And I said, where do you get that? We said, our minister said it wasn't alcoholic wine he made. It was wine, it was like a fruit juice. It wasn't alcoholic. I said, oh, strange thing that. I said, how's that strange? Well, I said, at the Lord's table, what did they use? Wine. I says, was it? Oh, he says it was non-alcoholic too. I said, that's perfect strange. You not read what Paul said. Paul said there's somebody who's getting drunk at the Lord's table. Says, hey, you've not houses of your own to eat and drink, and somebody's making drunkens out of your tails. You're so overdoing it at the Lord's table, and all I said, Stephen, you're drunk. You know, your boy said one time to, you could be saved and lost. Oh, Ian said, I think it was maybe Ian, but someone in that anyway, said, oh, Rick. He said he went out one evening and he said he took a drop of wine at the dinner and he says, I took a wee bit too much. He said, to tell you the truth, it was tipsy. Ian says, aye, but you were lost then. And he looked at him. Well, he said, you must have been. He said, you must have been lost then. You get tipsy, you're drunk. No drunkards in the land of the kingdom. What does he do? I'd see. You see, you first to see to talk about some things. It's total nonsense. But no, the Bible says. The Bible says the just man falls 7 times daily. He sins 7 times daily. Why did Jesus, why did John write in 1 John that you have an advocate? Why did he write there that the blood of Jesus Christ lays there for to cleanse you from all sin? What about the day? What about the day when I think a thought I shouldn't think? I'm not saying. I'm picking anybody out to say you think a thought. I'll pick myself. What about the times I think a thought I shouldn't think? What about the times that I do something that I know I shouldn't have done, but I have, I didn't mean to do it, but I have done it? What do I do? Do I sit down and lie down? You know, the Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. And you can be sure if you do something you shouldn't be doing, the devil will accuse you. And when you rise up to do something, then the devil will say to you, you shouldn't have done that. And there you are, you sit like that there. But what can you do? You flee to the place of mercy, to the precious blood, to the cleansing power. Hallelujah! The blood that cleanses us from all sin. You know, Brian Freeborn made a powerful statement here. I don't know how he realized. I'm sure he did, all right, Brian's a spiritual fella. And he made a powerful statement. He says, the blood cleanses from all sin, present, past, and future. I tell you, it's good, isn't it? Amen. As it was in the days of Noah, what did they do in those days? They ate, they drank, they married. They were taken in marriage. Marriage meant nothing. And you see, when most every country, when the family fails in a country, the country fails. And history has proved that if the family goes down, the country goes down. And you've got leaders and preachers today, and it's a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. The Bible says you're to turn away from it. You're not to have nothing to do with it. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will receive you unto myself. You know, it's the strangest thing on television ever you see. You put on this strange television. And now, I don't want it to creep on the children here. And there were some ladies on. And I think they were on the tap when they were going to bed. And they had them to come on TV. And they're purporting to give you the word of the Lord. Now there's something wrong somewhere. There has to be. Either they're right or the Bible's wrong. Just like the man said to the one time, the man asked, he said, they had a woman preaching. And your man says, it's not right for you to have a woman preaching. Ah, but he says, you don't understand. Oh, he says, I don't understand. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man. Do you know what it says? It's a shame for her even to speak in the church. And you listen to some of the stuff that they are preaching. Now you listen to some of this stuff there and go you down and you name Borough Branham to them. And I'll tell you, they'll not want to hear you. Or they'll not want to fellowship with you. You'll go out right away. You'll be an occult. Or you'll be sat out to the side, or they'll not want to hear you. You go down into some of these places and you tell them you had a dream or you had a vision. And they'll look at you like you've got two heads on you. And they'll not want to hear. Whereas the Bible said, your young man, what is it? So your young man shall see visions and your old man shall dream dreams, or verse verse, but so he can read it in Joel. He said that would take place. And they'll try to tell you, you say now there's a prophet coming there today, and they say, oh, I couldn't believe that. You know, I remember talking to one man and he talked about the serpent seed to him. And he said to me, when I talked to him about the serpent seed, he says to me, no, that wasn't right. And I said, well, was it not? Well, then I said, is the Bible not right? No, I said, there was two men in the garden. Oh, I said, right. You know, I had to watch what I say here, for it might offend some people. But he said there was an arm on the garden. Now, it wasn't the serpent he was talking about. And I said, no, that couldn't be. That's not the way the Bible says it. And I said, Rob Brown made a mistake about that. Now, like I said to that man, I didn't say too much to him. But you know something? The Spirit of God rebuked me for even talking to him. So don't you talk to him again. Not him alone. And I never did talk to him again about anything. I passed the time of day with him and that was it. He said, would the Spirit of God do that? It would. Said, if you approach a man after the third time, let him be unto you like an atheist to you. Oh, you say that's a desperate thing. They didn't hear Noah. The ark was there. They could have come in. Eight souls went on that ark. As it was in the days of Noah. John said this morning it was a serious thing. I'm telling you, it was a serious thing. And do we not live in the days of Noah? Do we not live in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? You heard this morning of the number, the big numbers they had. They'd come out. Oh, I tell you, if they'd have lived back. And what was the fellow that said, climb up into the chariot and come with me. Do you see the zeal I have for the Lord? Jehu. What was his name? Jehu's the very man. He said, we're going to have a big confession.
Yes.
For all the boys of Baal. Says, don't let any of them escape. It says, for your life will be for their life. If God done that then, what's he going to do now? He's going to burn them. He's going to burn them with fire. You know, we'll not be too far away if you'll preach like this and say, now you're exciting hating men. Hate to have what? They have, oh, I can't get my tongue around these words, they have homophobic. They have Islamophobic. It'll not be too long till they'll have some are phobic. But I'll tell you one thing, they don't have the truth. And far better than that, they don't want the truth. And all the talk of you know is, I want to say something. John read a thing this morning about Saul. And Saul was to destroy the Amalekites. Why was he to destroy the Amalekites? He was to destroy the Amalekites for when Israel came out, Amalek wouldn't let them pass through their land. And there's another Haman and there's another Amalek arisen in England. They're in it today. Haman and Amalek. And you know, in the Bible said, I was sitting in the house one morning and I was thinking about the Prime Minister and thinking about the stuff. I said it in here before, I say it again. And I turned over in the Bible and I turned to Isaiah 3 and it said, my people, their oppressors are children and their leaders are women. And they're leading them the wrong way. No truth, no backbone, can't stand up. Brother Branham said they never should have had the vote. I say that's desperate, well, that's right. Because he said they made a mistake in America. They put in Kennedy because he was like a film star. That's how he got into power. He was the first Roman Catholic president in America. And our first Roman Catholic prime minister was Tony Blair. I say, oh no, he wasn't. Oh, he was. And you know, that's the way it is. Now you say, what about Roman Catholics? You know something, there's some Roman Catholics taking a batter stand on what some of the Protestants are taking. Because they're against abortion. They're against a man marrying a man and a woman marrying a woman. Nature would even teach you it's not right. It's contrary to nature. It said as it was in days of Noah. He said, but if the good man of the house had known in which hour the thief would have come, he'd have watched, and he would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. They would have watched, but they haven't watched. The watchmen, what does Isaiah say about them? He says, they're all dumb dogs. Lying down to slumber and they love it that way. You're all right. There was another gentleman on the news there. He was dancing about and all. He was so happy about their gay parade. Not a smart guy, man. But I was always led to believe that if you were gay, you were married, and you were happy. But they just took on a new meaning. They just took on a different meaning now. So in other words, they strained at the knot, and they swallowed the camel. And you know, Jesus said that there's no sweet water, and bitter water comes forth of the one fountain. Can't do it. And they have caught light darkness, and darkness light. And you know, where are they heading? What will they end up with? They'll end up because it's a horse, it's a mixed colored horse that's riding. That's what it is, it's a mixed colored horse. And that mixed colored horse, where does he take you? Death and hell follows him. Death and hell. Why, it's good to be saved. It's good to know the truth. Because we'd like to tell you, you have a hope that the word hasn't got tonight. Amen. You're our loved ones in glory tonight. There's coming a day when you're going to be reunited with them.
Hallelujah.
There's coming a day when that voice, that trumpet's going to sound, and Paul says that dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah! And he says that we that liveth and remain shall be caught up with him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. There's coming a day, hallelujah. Job asked the question. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? He said, if the tree be cut down and there be a sand of water, there'll go to life again. He saw death. He saw resurrection. He saw life. And God come down and spoke with Job. Hallelujah. And Job realized. He says, I have heard by the hearing of the ear. Now I see. You know, Brother Brown made some great statements. Said, you'll know the rapture's on. Someday your loved ones will walk in. Hallelujah. You'll see them. The world mightn't see them, but you'll see them. We'll see them. Because they're with the Lord. Absent from the body. Paul said of this temple being sold, he says, I have a building with them, not made by hands. Hallelujah. You know, before there ever was anything, before there was one tree, before there was one plant, our bodies was lying in the dust of the earth. And God come down and took that dust and created a man. And man became a living soul. And God put that man to sleep and he took a woman out of that man. Hallelujah. The God of heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the only God, the only true wise God, our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. As it was, if the good man had known, he wouldn't have suffered his house to be broken up. He doesn't want to know. Oh no, I don't have time for that. Why? You can't, they preach up there that the women can't wear trousers or slacks. They preach up there that the women can't cut their hair. That's old fashioned. Things are changed. Paul was a woman hater. Well, that's very strange. He was a woman hater because there was a brave lot of women around him that ministered to him. And there was a brave lot of women that helped him. And there was a brave lot of women, when they heard them, God opened their heart. And Lydia was down, and whenever she heard Paul praying, God opened her understanding. And I tell you something. Paul was God's servant, God's apostle. And look, he wrote a great part of the New Testament, didn't he? He was a God. He was a sent one from the Lord. And what has he said? He said, if someone comes along and tells you any other thing than I have told you, let him be accursed. And you know, some people say you're not pushy enough. It's a nice thing to see a woman with a mild spirit, isn't it? They're few and far between. But when you meet a Christian lady with a mild spirit and a nice way with her, I'll tell you something. That's a blessing. And if your wife's like that, that's a blessing for you. It's a blessing to have a wife like it. It's a blessing to have a wife that you know that loves the Lord. But you, some of these people today, oh, you'll not do that with me, and you'll not do this, or you'll not do something else. Well, you know, in some cases that might be, but there's only one thing that you can, if that's your case, there's only one thing you can do. All you can do is commit it to the Lord and ask the Lord, and who's to know to say that God will not do something? We have to commit everything to the Lord. We can't run ahead of the Lord. As it was in the days of Noah. They want to do this and that there. It's a nice wee story. He got on a wee boat. He took all the wee animals on with him. He come off the boat. And they sort of all lived happily ever after. It's become a story to them. But it's not really a story. It's an account of what took place. It's a revelation. God gave Noah the blueprint to build the ark. And you know the thing about it? No one ever closed the door of the ark. God closed the door on the ark. And one of these days, God's going to close the door. He sent the eagle to counteract this pale horse. He sent the eagle message to counteract the pale horse. So that we could go back to the book of Acts. And like I said, the man, he said the book of Acts was a scaffolding. A lot of nonsense. The book of Acts is actually the Acts of the Holy Ghost. When did he quit? He never quit. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. Amen. And you know, look at the day, look at you put the TV on, you watch the news, and look the way it is. And they'll ram it down your throat. Don't you say anything against it. Why they're even going to teach you? Why? I'll give the Muslims one thing. They all protested in England because they were going to try to tell children in school that they didn't know what they were. Mm-hmm. Now imagine me coming in here the night and we'll say, a brother here's only a young lad, and I'll say, do you realise, brother, you're a rabbit? He's look at me and say, oh, Billy, have you lost your senses? Oh, but you're only a rabbit. You're acting a rabbit. No, you understand what I'm trying to say. But imagine, Ah, but how do you know you're not a rabbit? Can you imagine now coming in and they say to a child, you might be a girl, or you might be a boy. Boys in nature, look the way things. Sure, a girl does girl's things. A boy does boy's things. You don't need to be taught. You don't need to be told why or what you are. You know what you are. And then you get some boy sitting up someplace, he's got a bit of education. Some boy has brainwashed him. I was going to say an R word that couldn't say it from the pulpit, but they brainwashed him. Told it that. And they told him this, told him that there, and said, oh, but this might be, that might be. You know, all this stuff. Who's the author of all this stuff? Satan. Who's the angel of light? Satan. Who's transformed as ministers of light? Satan. You know, it's the day we live in, you never thought you'd live in a time like this. I never thought I'd live in a time like this. I used to think these things were all afar off, but they're not afar off now. We're living in an evil time, on an evil day. And you know, we ought to be humble before the Lord, like we heard this morning. That God looks after our families and looks after us. And that we can pray. You know, we can pray about the simplest things. You know, a man rung me there not so long ago. And this is just a wee instance now. It's not maybe a great thing. But this man rung me up and he was doing a wee job and he was sort of in desperation what he was going to do. And he said to me about such and such a thing. And could it be done and could this and that there? And I said, well, now, it can be done, but I says, why, the way things is, it's not going to be that there. And he said, what will I do? And I said, well, leave it for a couple of days till we see you in a panic. He says, I'm not in a panic, but he says, it's going to have to be done before the weekend. And I said, leave it to him. You know, I was sitting down and I sat down, and I just said to myself, Lord, would you make some way that this will work out for this man and that they'll get him sorted out, that something will take place to sort it out for him? And I just said it to the Lord. I said, Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name, just like the way I'm telling you now. And the next evening the next day, I said I would give him a ring about dinner time. And at 10 o'clock, my phone rung. And I pulled my phone out and he said, I've got the whole thing sorted. And I said, it's all working. I says, everything's working out to the dot, he says. I've got him on and the whole thing's going to be sorted for me right away. And I says, well, I'll just say something to you. I was praying that you'd get it sorted. Well, he says, God has answered your prayer. Just like that. You see, sometimes we maybe think, well, if you do a big long prayer. Now, there's no harm in praying long. Not to do somebody saying, now that man said he's in, but you pray as long as you want to pray. I wouldn't stop any man from praying. I'll pray as long as he wants to pray. It's a good thing to see people pray. It's a good thing to hear people pray. But it isn't what I'm trying to say. Sometimes you could say, some people have said, oh Lord, help me. And God has done miracles for them. Just as simple as that. And sometimes you maybe think, well, that this has to be. But sometimes God knows better than us. And we maybe just don't, sometimes we think we know all. But sometimes we just don't know all. But there's no harm in thinking it. But the thing about it is, God knows the end from the beginning. God's in control. And then it said, therefore, be ye ready for such as now, not to think the Son of Man coming. He says, who's that faithful servant as Lord coming, make him rule over his household? And his Jew says, my God, it's stop talking, wouldn't it? Praise the Lord. What is it? It's gone 7:10. I'm going to stop. I'm not keeping this any longer. You have listened well. As it was in the day of Noah. There's a lot of stuff could be said about it. I have a lot of notes and stuff, but I didn't feel like going into notes and stuff. But I just say this to you. The scripture's been fulfilled every day. Things are right before you. remember this, that only 8 people went on the ark. Now remember, Gary said he's in here, he told his dream and vision one morning that he seen in his dream, and he said they were falling off the cliff. And they never heard the shout, and they didn't want to hear. Now I was going into Lurgan one day, and I met a man coming on a bike. And I said to Ray there, sussing him on. And it must have been 30, 40 years from when I've seen him. 2 days later, I went out to go to the yard. And out there was an old school called Mocherabeg School. And there was a fella brought it and made it into a dwelling house, and then he sold it to an Armand man. And this man was sitting on a wee wall beside what Mocherabeg School was. And I pulled up with him. And he knew him, he didn't know me. And I called him by his name, and he took an awful look at me. He says, how do you know me? Oh, I says, I know you. I says, you should know me. He says, but I don't know you at all. I says, don't tell me, but I've changed that much. But you don't know me. He said, I don't know you. And then I told him who I was. He couldn't believe it. He said, I was at your place in Cork one time. He said, that day, he said, we went away, we went back, he says, and we put money in an envelope through your door. And I said, that's right, you did. But at the time, I didn't know it was him that done it. But he was there, and he went up the street, and he said, the Lord had spoke to him, said, go back and put a sum of money in for that man. He said, would you tell me something? He said, I'm telling you now, for he says, I would often wondered, did you get it? I said, I did get it. He said, had you any money? I said, I hadn't 2 halfpennies to rub together. And I remember my wife could tell you, that's right, I went down, and there's a brown envelope lying on the ground. And I can't mind, there was a good tidy sum of money, and it could have been 40 quid there. Now, 40 quid then was a good bit of money. And I brought it up, and we were able to get groceries. Now, I heard people, and they talked about faith. And they said they were out in faith. And they were getting drawn, what do you call it? I don't know what you call it, wasn't brew, it was an hour thing, was coming out of the dam and down. They're out in faith. And you know, God spoke to me one day and said, some of these people doesn't even know what faith is. Now I'm not saying that I had any more faith than them. We're not claiming that whatsoever. But the Bible says that every man has a measure of faith. You have a measure of faith, I have a measure of faith. Every person has a measure of faith. And you know what I done? I took the parrot's knee and I put it in what was known as a muslin cloth. You don't know why you get that now. And I run the water through it and I squeezed it tight and it run out like milk. And that's what Tommy got when he was a baby. He got the water run through the parched meal for milk. And that's what I was doing. And there was a Catholic man 2 or 3 doors up and he'd done a lot of shooting. And he used to bring me round pigeons. And we were glad to see the pigeons. The pigeons was good. When you had nothing, I'll tell you something. You say, oh, wouldn't you have a pigeon? Didn't have anything for a while. You hate a pigeon, I can assure you. But they were good. And you know, I maybe shouldn't be saying this, but I want to say this to you. That man says to me one day, says, what are you doing in the daytime? I said, I go on the street and talk to people on the street, to witness to people on the street. He said, what else do you do? I said, I read my Bible. I don't want to sound boastful to you now. I read the New Testament once a week. And he said, by you're lost in your time. He says, you'd make a quite priest. I said, make a priest? I said, by the way, you take a like of me for a priest. Oh, he says, the wood. I says, do you think what this? He says, I'm telling you, they would pick you in the morning. He says, a man like you, a converted man to the Catholic religion. Boy, he says, you'd want for nothing, you could live like a king. I said, "Why? What about the college and all?" She says, don't you worry about the college. She says, I'll pay your way through the college. I'll pay you for you to go if you'll go. Boy, he done his best to convert me. But I knew what was what now. He was trying to convert, what would you say, a Sammy Orange man. But he said to me, you'd make some priest. But I never once said the Pope to him was the Antichrist. Didn't ever say that to him. But I talked to him about the Lord. And I talked to him about the things of God. I used to go out with him when he was going shooting. And I would talk tell him about the different things. And he took me up one time to a chapel. He said, it's not a chapel anymore. It was a Reformation church when the Reformation, Martin Luther, he says, this changed over. And that was outside Cork. It changed over to the church. When the Reformation took place, the whole chapel changed over. I tell you something. You know something. People have no idea the move of God there was when Luther came. Boy, I tell you, that opened Europe wide open. But Europe's closed down again. The Jesuits run Europe. They run the European Union. And Mrs. May went down with her cap in her hand to plead like a country that was defeated at war and betrayed the memory of the gallant men of the First and Second World War. And don't ever let anybody tell you any different. Betrayed them. Them men died for the truth. They died for freedom and for liberty. But there's one thing sure. There's one thing that can't. They might undo the Reformation. They might undo some of the things that's been done. But there's one thing they'll never undo. Or they'll never can undo. They'll never undo that day at Calvary and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in him. Undo. Run with them. Run with them. You can see as they see why you went down, can't you? Because there's no truth. They took that wee lad round the hour day and didn't tell who his godparents was. That's their own business, anyway. That's nothing to do with us. But the thing about it was, they sprinkled him. He's a Catholic. That's what he is. They're all Catholics. They mightn't be Roman Catholics, but they're Catholics. I sent our fellows down one time to a certain organization in the moor. They tell them they're Catholics, and one of my fellows says, no way, we're not Catholics. Goodbye. And got up to come out and said, Dad, we're not going back. They tell us we're Catholics. So I said, you're not Catholics. These are Protestants, and always remember that. You know, the early Presbyterians knew what the truth was. They knew what it was. But you see, it's all diluted down. It's all diluted. We all can be one now. They all can be one. They all, you know, we were having our tea in a wee place in Pickering at an agricultural show a lot of years ago. And we went into this wee tent that belonged to the Church of England. And they were serving tea and cake in it. And we went in anyway. And it was very nice now. And the woman, very nice people, nice spirit with them, nice friendly people, and said they work closely with the Catholic Church. They don't have any truth. You go down, you see, there's a whole upkeep the other day there. And our guy down there, he said that the priests were hypocrites because they stood in the altar and told you such a thing, and then they went behind the pulpit and done what they shouldn't do. And that's what he said. He said they're hypocrites, and there's a whole lot of huge upkeep. Well, they mightn't all be like that. Well, there's a brave few, and there's a brave few if the boys on our side too wasn't much better. But that's besides the point. But that's the age, that's the time, the end time. May God help us to walk in the truth and to seek after truth and to keep ourselves pure and to keep, like we heard this morning, humble before the Lord and to always ask the Lord every day to direct our paths and to keep us up with the Lord, that when he comes we'll be ready, waiting and watching from coming. The Lord bless you. I'm sorry now if I've kept you too long. Go on, it's a 7:15. I'll ask Gary to come and close. Praise the Lord. Maybe we could sing that song, Gary, before we close. Maybe we could sing it. I know it was the blood. Praise the Lord, just before you close. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's not a table of single parts.